Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I go inside of episode 83, Navigating Through Crisis. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, T. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So today we're going to talk about David's episode titled Navigating Through Crisis. Now, we don't usually talk about crisis on this show, and I'm not sure we've ever really talked much about it through all the episodes we've done, but it's so necessary. So, David, in the episode itself, you briefly mentioned and touched upon what you called the shaman's journey. I had not really done much thinking about what that was. Can you talk a little bit more about what that is and how that may be able to help a person during a crisis?
Yeah. So the shaman's journey is both a real and archetypal historical documentation of the tribal shaman, you know, like in Indian culture, and you know, that's a different type of thing. And if you study it's the shaman's journey, it's always the same. It's a really fascinating thing. Something happens in the person's life, they have basically a complete breakdown, and a lot of times they go off by themselves, and then a big part of it is that they come back to the communities. Because if they were just to go off by themselves and disappear into the woods, they would just be considered pretty much a crazy person. But they go out, they disappear, they go on this journey. Like the Aborigines, they would go on this walk, you know, and a lot of times it would be several years for some of the tribes in North America. They would just go out in the woods and live on their own and really fight their own demon, whether it had to do with a physical illness and they had to heal themselves, or they had to learn to live on their own, or whatever it was. But then they come back with all this wisdom. And then the wisdom is then distributed throughout the community, so that for a betterment of the community as a whole. But in an archetypal dream, it's pretty fascinating, because lots of people have dreams when they're trying to make sense of what somebody else is going through. And historically, the dreams are very much the same. Like, the bones get broken, the eyes get gouged out, they're in a deep pit, something swallows them, something like sucks all the life out of them. But then it comes back, and then they're this new thing in some way. And I've studied a lot of different things about, reading people's dream analysis, and Jung did a lot of stuff around dream analysis. And the shaman one is almost always the same. Like, it's weird. Like, all these people all over the world will have this dream when they're trying to make sense of something, or when they're going through crisis, of this kind of destruction around themselves. But then there's a rebirth. So it's a subconscious mind processing, you know, like the phoenix into the ashes type of a rebirth. And then you go through the transformation, and when you come back through the transformation, you generally, as the person, are a much stronger, much more wise, much more focused individual in your life. So people go through a breakdown of their own knowingness and character of what they believe about themselves and the world. They heal themselves, and then they're a better person, and very often even have a new purpose that they go after.
Yeah, that's super cool. I haven't really done much study in that, but it's something that I think I'm going to dive into, because it really does feel like, you know, you're coming back to yourself on a soul level, and I can see how it could help you in a crisis, because it's almost as if you've been there before, so you're pulling on experiences from lifetimes ago, if you want to go that direction, and being able to come back to yourself. That's super, super powerful.
Yeah, I think that there's a tapping into the collective consciousness of the world when that happens, because it's like only through those types of crises is a person willing to let go of the beliefs that they hold on so strongly that aren't serving them, and they let go, right? So right. When they let go, they let God, and when that happens, then they're able to accept something new and become something new out of it. So, yeah, you're tapping into something for sure.
Yeah, that's great. So One thing I know about you is you're always so steady. Like, you don't get easily rattled by outside situations or external stimuli. I immediately think about the large embezzlement you had back in the early years of your business. You actually spoke in depth about that way back in episode 12, titled Don't Quit in the Darkness, which is one of our more popular episodes that we've done on this show. Where did your resolve come from? Is that something you were born with, or was that something you learned to activate through situations?
I can't actually say that I was born with it, because I don't know. It would be ignorant for me to say that. I've thought about that before, though. Why am I so good in crisis situations? And the bigger the crisis, the better I am in handling it. And I really honestly think it was because my family was constantly in a mode of one crisis after another. And I watched the people who broke down around that and crumbled. And I watched the people who were strong. And for whatever reason, I was more attracted to, like, my grandmother was very strong in crisis. And I would align myself with her. And she had a knowledge and a wisdom that was different than the rest of my family. And she went through her own crisis way before I was born, which I hear was pretty horrific. But anyway, so I learned a lot from her, and I watched how she handled things and dealt with things. And because there was a destabilization in my family very early on that was quite frightening for everybody concerned, I think I just became good at it. Because it was happening all the time, even if it was like moving. Like, I moved 21 times by the time I was, or 22 times by the time I was 21, something like that. It was a lot. So I was constantly readjusting to an environment and not getting into an emotional place that where you were constantly having a breakdown. But how do I navigate through this? So I've had some very interesting experiences in my life that are really rattling. And I've always been pretty amazed at how I was able to pull myself through, whether it was the dam or my son's car accident or whatever. I noticed one of the things was that I didn't become so rattled that I could not help others. And that was my first go-to, is how do I help everybody else? And then afterwards, what do I need?
Yeah, I think that's one of the greatest gifts that I've been able to take away from you, because I'm able to handle crisis a little bit better now, a whole lot better since meeting you and studying from you. But it's very easy to go to a fatalistic place when things aren't going well. And even when things are going well, there's always that thought in the back of your head, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. I mean, something bad's going to happen. So when you say that, you welcome those things into your life. So one thing I've really tried to do is to, you know, when something comes up, just take a step back from it. You know, there's a crisis. It's a big one. You take a step back, you kind of breathe a little bit and think about it. I know that one of your best mantras is, what's the truth in this? Yeah. Or what can I learn from this? Asking yourself those situations and being able to say, okay, now I'm grounded, now I'm centered, now I can move through it. I think those are really big things to lean on in times of crisis, for sure. Let's close with this one. So I just kind of spoke a little bit about, you know, trying to stay positive. What's the best way to stay positive when everything around you seems to be crumbling? Because I know there's people out there that probably deal with this, and they look at you and say, oh, well, it's easy for you. You're David Nagel. That's not true. You work at this stuff. So what's the best way to stay positive when everything around you seems to be falling apart?
Well,
And I mean, granted, you know, we're talking a little bit about like a random sort of, we're not going specific into one situation. I know it's hard to answer, but what's something you could pass on to the listeners about just staying positive?
I think it would be the first thing that I was teaching on the show, which was that it's happening for a reason. Like life is happening around us. We're going through this journey of life with everybody else, 7 other billion people on this damn planet. And we're all experiencing different things at different times. And we're supposed to be learning from life. Let me put it that way. So we're supposed to be learning from life, and we're having experiences. And a lot of times we think the experience is going to be one way and it turns out to be something else. When I say that, I think about I mean, you and I have been on the road together for 10 years,
right.
And we've seen some crazy shit out there. And I remember we were in Belize one time, and we were asked to help recover a dead body, a man who drowned.
Yes.
And we did find the body, and we pulled it into the boat, and that was a pretty destabilizing.
Right.
I mean, we were having a good, you know, a really good time 1 minute, and then we were trying to save somebody's life.
In an instant.
So that's the weird thing about these things is they happen so fast. And I think that for me, it's always been that this is happening for a reason. There's a reason for this. I too have had to struggle. Like, there have been times in a few situations where I've had to really consciously say, don't make the death jump, right? Like, everything's going to fall apart. Everybody's going to die type thing. Don't go there in your mind. Focus on what is next. I do remember this. When I was in the Army, when I went through basic training, I remember something very significant. And I thought it was interesting at the time that it stood out to me because it was like there's a million different messages you're hearing. Why is this one standing out to me? And one of the drill instructors was teaching us about we were doing battlefield wound dressing. It was an interesting course that day. It was how to carry bodies off the battlefield, how to do emergency first aid, that type of thing. And he said, if you're hurt or somebody else is hurt, the first thing, number one, is don't panic. Because if you panic, your mortality is pretty certain. If you don't panic, you can assess the situation and you can make conscious choices that will save your life, even in some of the worst conditions. Like, there's all kinds of stories, if you study this, about people who have, stopped major artery bleeding, on their own, or half their face was blown off, and they were able to take, they crawled for miles and, just crazy, crazy stories. But they didn't panic. They were focused on what do they need to do to survive. So I think it's that. And I also think that it's understanding that these things are going to happen and everything has a bigger meaning. And I also think that there is a focus on getting the focus off yourself and looking at how you can help others in a time of crisis, right? Because if we're all helping each other, we've got a much better chance of coming out of this thing okay than if we get all inward on ourselves and isolate and then come crumbling down because we're doing that. So, that's been one of the things for me. It's just understanding that these things are going to happen and they all mean something. I mean, even with the embezzlement, right? It took me a few days to get out of crisis head and understand that this was something that was happening to make me a better business person. Like, but I had to get out of the, why is this happening? Like, I can't believe this just happened. Like, for 2 days I walked around and was like, why did this happen? I can't believe this just happened. Why did this happen? I was like repeating the same thing that everybody does when they're hit with something that they totally didn't expect. And I can tell you, I did not expect that to happen. That was like, I never dreamed that would happen. But I mean, people go through this every day where they get a phone call and their life changed. Everything was fine and they got a phone call and their life changed.
Yeah. And I love that you use that specific situation to springboard you to something bigger. You very easily could have crumbled and said, I'm a victim, and then fought it and then came out the other side no better than you were. You allowed it to enter in, used it as a springboard and said, life happens. I'm going to take something from it. And I loved the quote from Rilke that you used in this episode. Let life happen to you. Believe me, life is in the right always. I think that is such a great and powerful lesson that we can all learn from. So thanks so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you're welcome, BT. Thanks.
All right. We will catch you on the next episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Thank you, everyone.
Listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.